The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
During Paul's time, the city of Ephesus was a very large and impressive Roman city, with also a very impressive pagan temple to the goddess Artemis. The Ephesian Artemis was a fertility goddess, and whether it was more children or fruitful harvest, the people of Ephesus believed that she gave life. Now, in addition to Artemis was the Ephesia Grammata. The Ephesia Grammata is six ancient, unpronounceable secret words that supposedly had power over demons and power to be manipulated by the user. And many people would have these words in amulets, necklaces, for their own personal gain. Now, compared to the fledgling Ephesian church, the great palace of Artemis and the Ephesia Grammata seemed very powerful and very impressive. But that was only to the unenlightened eye. In Ephesians 1 verse 18, in our second reading, Paul desires for the Christians at Ephesus, for the eyes of their hearts to be enlightened. Now, I know hearts don't have eyes, but we do understand things from the heart. The enlightened heart eyes see what is in fact really happening in the universe. And Paul says, when your heart eyes are enlightened, that you will see more than anyone could ever imagine. You'll actually see hope. And you'll actually see the riches of the glorious inheritance you have in Christ. And then finally, the immeasurable greatness of Christ's power. Now, outside this church in Ephesus, many people are looking up to the palace of Artemis, or using these supposed magic words, because it looked like there was real power there. Paul draws the eyes of the baptized Ephesians not to look up to Artemis, but to look up to the ascended Jesus, the resurrected and ascended Jesus. And not to use some magic words, but to call upon the name of Jesus. There is no comparison, as Paul says, far above the power that's in Jesus Christ and the supposed power of an idol or an incantation. It's only being in Christ where humanity will enjoy life and, in fact, know God's will. Now, in the Acts reading, the first reading for tonight, the disciples are sort of stuck looking up into heaven as Jesus ascends. And they're asked, why are you standing there looking up? Which reveals two things about the ascension. First, about the disciples. They thought they needed to look up into heaven to see Jesus. But Jesus wasn't going up some invisible elevator, but rather he was taking his seat at the right hand of God. The ascension is Jesus taking his rightful place in ruling the universe, which relates to the second thing, that Jesus is everywhere where the right hand of God is. Since God is everywhere, Jesus isn't gone at the ascension, but actually drawing closer to you. Ironically, Jesus is so close because of the ascension, he's hard to see. Like the 12 apostles and the Ephesian church, we too need the eyes of our hearts enlightened to see what is really happening today. Jesus doesn't leave us in the ascension. Rather, the enlightened eye of our hearts sees that at the ascension, the beginning of a life more glorious and rich and immeasurable is about to begin. And Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, that this happens at Pentecost. The eyes of your heart will be enlightened at Pentecost, which will happen 10 days from today. But for the baptized, this has already happened. Baptism is your own personal Pentecost. In holy baptism, your heart's eyes are enlightened. They are open to see what is really happening in the universe. That the universe is run by the resurrected and ascended Jesus. But that doesn't mean Jesus runs the universe from afar, but he always rules and runs things very close. Jesus's humanity is ascended and seated at the right hand of God. And that is important for us humans, because since Jesus's humanity is in union with our humanity through his incarnation and our baptism, our heart's eyes see how close our hope is really. We see that eternal life in Christ is alive in us right now. Now, the last verses of the Ephesians reading say that Jesus' fullness fills all things. That means the real power of life, the stuff that fuels the universe, resides in him, who then fills you with that divine life. Your bodily life is filled with Jesus. And so you begin to enjoy the fullness of life today. You are a partaker of that divine life. With Jesus ruling the universe and filling all things with himself, we begin to believe that all things will work for the good of those who believe. We believe that all of creation is, as God said in Genesis 1, good. And we believe each day is a day to be thankful Now, many at the time of Paul's life, and even today, struggled to see the divine life actually alive because it was so hard to not look at the grandiose palace of Artemis or to think of the power of the Ephesia Grammata. They struggled with that because they thought they saw real power in those things. But there is no power in those things. No power over the universe. There's no power to forgive sins. There's no power to resurrect from the dead. Now, our religious landscape in today's life might seem different, but there are similarities. Sure, we don't look up to the Temple of Artemis, but we do look at a lot of things besides God for life. And we might not look to the Ephesia Grammata for personal gain, but we do look to money, influence, and popularity, believing that they have power to make things happen. But they have no power. Money will not forgive your sins. Fame will not remove shame. None of that will restore relationships, and none of that will raise you from the dead. There is no power over life and death in those things. And that is hard to see sometimes. But I want to echo Paul and his desires, because those are Jesus' desires, that all of our eyes of our hearts will be enlightened to the reality that the ascended Jesus runs the universe. Jesus, the one who forgives all of your sins, who died for you and resurrected for you, is ascended right now and runs the universe with the thing that fuels him and all of life, his love for you. Now, the Holy Spirit has enlightened the hearts of all the baptized to see that the ascension gives the hope of life, the richness of God's gifts, and the immeasurable power of being a child of God. The ascension guarantees that life will always have purpose. Your purpose is to live the divine life. It will guarantee that all things are good, because Jesus fills all, and that there will always be power over death that is alive in you. So happy Ascension Day, everyone. May your enlightened heart eyes see the wonders of your divine life and then rejoice in living in that life. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.